Welcome to the Raise Your Bars podcast, where it's all about elevating your life one step at a time. With your hosts, Chris Baker and Al Rattan. Together, we're here to guide you through the transformative journey of self-improvement and success. Have you ever wondered what behaviors and actions you need to change to achieve the results and success you desire in life? Well, you're in the right place. Each episode, we dive deep into the strategies, mindset shifts, and practical steps you can take to raise your bars. From personal development to professional growth, Chris and Al share their expertise, experiences, and the occasional tough love, all designed to empower you to reach your full potential. So, whether you're looking to make a big change or simply fine-tune your path to success, grab a seat and let's raise those bars together. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Chris Baker and Al Rattan.
Well, Chris, here we are again, another episode of Raise Your Bars podcast. And man, it's been, I just love doing this podcast. And I love that the listenership is growing and, it's very exciting. So obviously, I guess we're doing something right, or maybe they're just listening in to hear me make a fool of myself, but who knows?
Nah, I think I'll go with the former. We're doing something right. Yeah, people are relating to it. That's the good thing, you know?
I think so. And folks, you know, we're really grateful that you do listen and tune in, and be sure to, you know, connect with us on social media, please. It would be great to have you connected on there with us. So Chris, tonight we're going to pull a little something from John Maxwell's book called Failing Forward, and it's turning mistakes into stepping stones for success. And one of the chapters, he's got a list of the top 10 ways people get in their own way. I think of a number of ways that I get in my own way a lot of times too. And I just want to read this one part here before we dive into this. And I think, Chris, we're going to sort of do a series on this because we're not going to get through all 10 in this episode. But John says in the book, is many people possess blind spots when it comes to knowing about themselves.
Yep.
Right? We all have blind spots. We talk about that in DISC and when we do DISC workshops all the time, right? I don't like to say weaknesses. I don't like that word. I like to use the word blind spots because we all know our strengths, but sometimes they're blind spots for a reason because we're not even aware that we have them in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the blind spots apply to strengths, but more often people fail to see their weaknesses, and that causes trouble. And if you don't know you have a problem, then guess what? You can't work to fix it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And I think, I have to say with weaknesses that I think you have to be aware of your weaknesses. But I have a slightly different perspective because I don't necessarily think and coach that you should work on your weaknesses. I think you should coach and work on your areas of opportunity and your areas of weakness. You should partner with somebody else that's strong in that area.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because when you're aware of your weakness, if you work on it, it's never going to become a strength. And if it does, something else is going to go, and therefore, you know, what are you gaining, right? Whereas if you look at your opportunity, and I do it on ask people to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10, right? On all of the sort of skill sets, if you like. And if it's a 7, 8, man, let's say an 8, 9, 10, then it's a strength, right? Maybe a 7 is a strength. If it's a 4, 5, 6, then it's an area of opportunity. And they're the things that you should be working on, right? If it's a 1, 2, or 3, find someone else that's strong in that area and partner up with them.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we did something similar. We did running that, we had our first session of our sales boot camp that we run with the group on Monday morning. And there was an opportunity for them to rate themselves out of 10 things for their sales skills and abilities and where they felt what their strongest ability was and maybe what their weakest ability was, and then what they could do to start working on that skill set or ability that maybe they feel that they're lacking in experience or, whatever in that area. And I think it's a good opportunity for people to really do some self-examination. And of course, we have to then all of a sudden approach it with a level of humility. You know, we can't let our ego get in the way saying, oh, I'm great everywhere, right? There are areas where I have blind spots or weaknesses, and sure, I can improve them, or bring somebody else on my team that can help me in that area.
Yeah.
It's really good.
The important thing is not ignore them, right?
Exactly.
Or even worse, it's like deny that they're there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's the worst thing. If it's like, I don't see that, so I'm not worried about it. Well, if somebody else sees it, then it's a blind spot, right? And yeah, it's something that could get in the way. So how do you overcome that? So,
because I guarantee if you're ignoring it, your team or your superiors, right, or your peers are probably noticing it.
Right,
so why ignore it? Let's just name it and move on and grow in that area. So let's look at John's list here. And we're just going to cover, like I said, the first two or three tonight. But the first one is, he says, talks about poor people skills, right? And he says, by far the greatest single obstacle to success I see in others is a poor understanding of people.
Yep. And like you say, it's, you know, this is really DISC, right? And I did a short DISC workshop today, and it's the same thing. It's people understanding who they are, how they communicate, mm-hmm, and then being able to understand and identify how other people communicate, you know, it's not as sort of black and white as saying, you know, Al, you're an I and I'm a D and you're always going to be that. It's not the case, right? So right, we have to look at it and say, you know, on any one given day or any one given moment during that day, how is that person communicating and how am I communicating, right? And I know that being a DC, I have a tendency sometimes to react quickly, right? To get on that defensive mode and my heckles come up and try and then go get offensive, yeah, on the offensive to be defensive, you know? And so, you know, I have to realize that, and I don't catch it all the time. Yeah. But when I do catch it, it's like, okay, cool.
In the moment when it's happening, right? Like, I mean, right, I may be an IIS, but at the same time too, my D has no problem coming out when yeah, I need it to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good, yeah, at exercising that more, yeah, dominant and direct trait.
The challenge though, Ali, is that people are not taught people skills, right? That, you know, I really dislike it when people refer to it as soft skills. I mean, that I don't really know what soft skills means in that way, but I know they're referring to the people skills. How do you deal with people? Yeah. And whether we like it or not, in the majority of jobs, in the majority of life, we're going to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whether it's ordering a coffee at Starbucks or Tim Hortons, or whether it's, you know, working with a customer at work or a client at work or a coworker at work, a direct report, a leader, they're people. So how do you deal and how do you handle people?
You know what? It's actually really, really interesting that we're talking about this tonight, because on Saturday morning when I was flying back from Toronto, I actually sat beside a flight attendant. She was, you know, coming home, visits family, and mm-hmm, so not in her uniform or anything like that, but I saw her luggage tags and I said, oh, so you work with the airline? And she's like, yeah, flight attendant. We got stopped talking about customer service, mm-hmm, right? And she goes, you know, so I've been here for like 5 years now, so you know, I'm getting a little used to it. But she goes, she went on to tell me some horror stories about what she's had to deal with as a flight attendant, right?
Yeah.
And the complete lack of people skills that some of these entitled, very self-entitled passengers feel like, mm-hmm, how they should be treated, right? And I always said, you know, and I had status with Air Canada for a number of years because I was flying a lot. And I said to her, you know what? I said, I've never gotten mad at the gate agent. It's not their fault the plane broke down or it's coming in late or that weather is delaying the takeoff or that the crew isn't ready yet. It's not their fault. Why are you being a jerk towards these people, right?
Yeah.
And this just, and you watch these people like completely lacking people skills or any kind of decorum or etiquette or compassion or empathy at all, because they're freaking out because they have, well, I'm a, I'm an elite member and you have to do this for me and all of, and it's just, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And here's something interesting that I didn't know and totally off topic. Like the flight attendants only get paid for when they're in the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she says, so when we're boarding you, when we're deplaning, when we're sitting in the airport for 3 hours waiting for our next flight, none of that is paid time.
Wow.
And then we have to deal with grumpy people all day long. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah.
He goes, I love my job and I love what I do. And this is what I want to do with my and now she was doing a lot of overseas flights. So she was making more money, but it was still very interesting, very eye-opening. And some of the horror stories she was telling me about the complete lack of people skills. And the thing though, is if people are doing that, because we, you know, John's taught about this before, you know, bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And what really, when the pressure's on, what's inside is really going to come out. Mm-hmm. And the fact that if you're acting like that in a public environment to an employee of another organization that you're trying to do business with, then what are you doing to your own team in your own workplace?
Right.
Or to that server at Starbucks or the, you know, how are you treating people? And the lack of people skills. And even I've seen some people just overreacting and it's like, I'm taken aback. I don't even know how to respond in that situation. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we digress.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easy to let emotions take over though. Right. And again, I'm not saying it's right. I don't think it is, but it's easy to let emotions. And then, you know, in those scenarios, the people that the customers will take out on that because that's the face of the company, even though it's not their fault, right? Yeah. So they're angry. They may be angry at themselves, but they're taking it out on somebody else. And again, that's not right. And being aware of that. And again, I would try and put myself in their shoes, right? What would I think if I'm that person? Mm-hmm. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Some of those people have not got great customer service, right? And they could learn from that. So, absolutely. You know, I'm not talking about Air Canada, but some of the other airlines, I've seen them and I look at them. And I'm a student of customer service. I look at it all the time because I believe it's really the number one driver of a successful business. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to observe those things. And sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, that's not good. That's not good how they're behaving. And if only they did this, it would smooth the whole situation out. Right. And so, exactly. You know, I get it from both sides, but that's where, again, we talk about it. Should the, you know, and the answer is yes, but should people that are in those customer facing roles be taught people skills and customer service skills? 100% they should.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
100%.
So let me read this little section here on this people skills. And it's just a series of questions. And I want to get your thoughts around this, Chris. So, and folks, if you're listening, then, you know, write these down, write your answers to these questions as I'm reading them out, or think into the answers to these questions. How are you when it comes to working with people? Are you genuine and authentic, or do you continually put up a front? Do you listen carefully to others, or do you do most of the talking? Do you expect everyone else to conform to your wishes, your schedule, and your agenda, or do you look for the ways to meet people on their terms? All great questions we can ask ourselves.
They are, yeah.
And if you have good people skills, then you are going to be genuine and authentic. You are going to listen instead of talk. You are going to look for ways to meet people, to find that middle ground.
That takes intentionality as well, though, Al, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and again, dependent on your own communication style and so on, that can be tough because it doesn't necessarily come naturally, right? And so it's slowing down and being intentional about how you approach those things. And let me be honest with you again, whilst I'd say that the majority of time I do those things, do I do it 100% of the time? No.
No.
Right? And I honestly, if I don't think anybody, hand on heart, could say, 100% of the time they do, right? If they say that, they're probably mistaken. Let's be polite about it. which of those three things would you say you would find the most challenging, if you like, and the one that you have to pay most intentional attention to?
Well, I think for me, honestly, I'm pretty genuine, right? I'm pretty open when I make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty, you know, pretty, I always tell everybody I'm a klutz, which I am. I trip over things and bang into things and just, you know, generally do stuff like that. And, but at the same time, I think for me, one of my biggest growth areas would be to listen more. Okay. I think I'm pretty authentic, but I think I talk too much. I know I talk too much because I've gone to people after a conversation or texted after a lunch I've had with friends and said, I'm really sorry. I talked way too much during that lunch break.
But that's your eye, right? Coming out.
Yeah, I know.
You're being that and talking that, right? Whereas, you know, I probably sometimes don't talk enough and listen, but I can do that. But I would find just say the third one again. What was the third one?
So are you, are you one expecting everybody to follow your agenda or are you willing to meet them on their terms?
Yeah.
Basically looking for middle ground.
That's probably the one that I work on the most, right? Mm-hmm. Because I, again, being a D, and a C, I've generally thought things out, but then it's a D, I'm ready to go.
And
other people right? sometimes are not ready to go, right? And they want to do it, and I'm like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then I have to like slow down and stop and employ the second one and say, okay, you know, help me understand what it is that maybe is holding you back here, right? I get frustrated though when I ask questions like that and ask other people to talk and share their thoughts. And you get silence, right? And so you go, okay, well, then we'll go ahead and do it. And then behind the scenes, you hear the little whispers of things and it's like, why don't you talk out, right? And so sometimes I look at that and maybe that's me not being as approachable as I can be because maybe I'm coming across unknowingly that I've already decided what I'm going to do, even though I'm asking for the opinions and I haven't decided.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's coming across, right? So that this is where we start to identify our own blind spots,
right? And I heard John talk about this once, especially with us that are in, you know, if even depending, it doesn't matter what your personality style, if you're in leadership and you are confident in your position as a leader, you usually have your mind made up on the direction you want to go,
right?
However, to be that effective leader as well, we need to really rely on our team. We can't be surrounded by a bunch of yes men all the time.
Correct.
And John has said, it wasn't John. I read it somewhere where they said the best thing you can do in a meeting when you're soliciting ideas, if it's a brainstorming session with your team, is for you as the leader to speak last. Pose the question and then speak last because again, depending on your personality and the level of influence you have with your team or respect level you have with your team, or maybe it's fear with your team. If you say, what do you think we should do in this area? I think we should do this, this, and this. Everybody else is going to go, oh yeah, that's great. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not going to get that open feedback, open and honest feedback from the rest of your team. And you could be missing out on one of those yes and moments that you always talk about, Chris, to build on the idea and make it even better than my own idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're only going to get one done today, but I want to read this one thing. So he says, making people skills of strength will take you farther than any other skill you develop. People like to do business with people they like. People like to do business with people they like. And I think you'd also say that people like to work for people they like. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what are your closing thoughts on the people skills will take you farther than any other skill you develop?
It's true. I mean, just look at the five levels of leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Where you've got the position, then you've got the permission, then you've got the production. And then level four is your people. Mm-hmm. Right. And then level five is your pinnacle, right? So, but the people and developing other people is the key to developing yourself. Because it comes back to the law of multiplication, right? And really the law of attraction. So you're attracting like-minded people, not yes people, but people that will be those catalyst thinkers, those broad thinkers without limitations and boundaries, so that you can expand and grow. And if you are not developing other people, you can't develop and grow yourself, because you're always being held back, because there'd be a gap, right? Too big a gap. And you can't move up if there's nobody ready to move into your spot. So developing those people and learning how you really connect with the people that you work with, the people you work for, the people, the partners you get, mm-hmm. is truly the only way to move forward with any sustained sustainability, right? And,
yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think maybe as we wrap this up again, folks, I'm just gonna read those few questions. And again, I think that's your self-examination mm-hmm. and your exercise for this week is, and you know, how are you when it comes to working with people? Are you genuine and authentic, or do you continually put up a front? Do you listen carefully to others, or do you do most of the talking? And the third question is, do you expect everyone else to conform to your wishes, your schedule, and your agenda? Or do you look for ways to meet people on their terms?
Yeah.
And depending on how you answer those questions is going to tell you a lot about what kind of person you are to be around. Chris, you want to throw something there?
Well, I was going to say you can, once you've answered that for yourself, then start thinking about it from the other person's perspective, right? Do they feel that you do that, right? Mm-hmm. How do they feel? What sort of impression are they getting of you, right? Because you may think you're doing it, and you may be, but if somebody else doesn't think you're doing it, then you're not. Right?
Very true. Very true. Well, I hope you join us next week. Hope you got some value out of this one, this podcast episode. Next week, we're going to talk about a negative attitude. And
we're not going to have one, but we're
going to talk about negative attitude. That's you and your team. Folks, if you want to reach out to us, go to raiseyourbars.ca. And if you're, especially if you're a business owner looking to grow and expand your bottom line this year, to new heights, or maybe you're struggling a little bit in your business right now, raiseyourbars.ca. You can book an appointment to have a call with Chris and I. We'll do a little discovery call with you and see if we can come alongside you and help you in 2024 and beyond with your business, with our Profit Accelerator program.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for tuning in. Everyone have an amazing weekend, and we'll see you or hear you next week.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to the Raise Your Bars podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please consider sharing it with your family, friends, and coworkers. We would sincerely appreciate it.